Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 40. In this episode, I'll discuss the recognition and treatment of serotonin syndrome, malignant hyperthermia, and neuroleptic malignant syndrome. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode 40. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. Muscular rigidity, significant hyperthermia, and autonomic instability are all common features of serotonin syndrome, malignant hyperthermia, and neuroleptic malignant syndrome. A thorough review of the patient's current and recent medications is the best way to tell the difference between these three conditions. Serotonin syndrome can result from an overdose or drug interaction involving one or more of the many drugs that increase serotonergic activity. The Hunter criteria is often used for the diagnosis of serotonin syndrome. To fulfill the Hunter criteria, a patient must have taken a serotonergic agent and meet one of the following five conditions. Number one, spontaneous clonus. Number two, inducible clonus plus agitation or diaphoresis. Three, ocular clonus plus agitation or diaphoresis. Four, tremor plus hyperreflexia. And five, hypertonia plus temperature above 38 degrees Celsius plus ocular clonus or inducible clonus. Serotonin syndrome is very similar to neuroleptic malignant syndrome. So, a thorough review of the patient's current and recent medications and history of present illness is essential for differentiating between these two syndromes. Serotonin syndrome develops over 24 hours, whereas neuroleptic malignant syndrome develops over a period of days. And serotonin syndrome is accompanied by neuromuscular hyperactivity, such as tremor, hyperreflexia, and myoclonus, whereas neuroleptic malignant syndrome is accompanied by sluggish neuromuscular responses, rigidity, and bradyreflexia. Cases of serotonin syndrome that I've seen have included an opioid plus two serotonergic medications. I once encountered a young adult female in my emergency department with confusion, hyperthermia, tachycardia, tremor, hyperreflexia, and diaphoresis. She was on therapeutic doses of citalopram and hydrocodone, but had taken three cyclobenzaprine 10 milligram tablets at once for her severe back pain. The team initially thought she was having an anticholinergic reaction from the extra cyclobenzaprine. I was able to point out that the patient was diaphoretic, so anticholinergic toxicity was unlikely, and that cyclobenzaprine is also a serotonergic agent. In fact, it is structurally nearly identical to amitriptyline. We gave the patient cyproheptadine and lorazepam, and she recovered quickly. Now, in addition to supportive care, in the treatment of serotonin syndrome, benzodiazepines are given to eliminate agitation, tremor, clonus, and elevations in heart rate and blood pressure. Start with 1 or 2 milligrams of IV lorazepam or midazolam and titrate the dose to effect. Cyproheptadine, an anti-serotonergic antihistamine, can be given as well. Give 12 milligrams orally or by gastric tube as the initial adult dose. Let's talk about malignant hyperthermia. Malignant hyperthermia occurs rarely after exposure to halogenated volatile anesthetics and depolarizing muscle relaxants or succinylcholine. Its classic presentation is increased concentrations of N-tidyl carbon dioxide, rigor mortis-like muscle rigidity, tachycardia, hyperthermia, and acidosis. The onset of malignant hyperthermia in the postoperative period is extremely rare. cases thought to be postoperative malignant hyperthermia have been described as isolated rhabdomyolysis and otherwise asymptomatic patients. And there's controversy as to whether these cases represent MH at all. A great resource that I have called upon many times when MH was in the differential diagnosis is the Malignant Hyperthermia Association of the United States, or MHAUS. At their website, mhaus.org, which I have linked up in the show notes, you can find a 24/7 hotline for use in emergency situations. Calling the hotline will put you in touch with an expert anesthesiologist within minutes to advise you in selecting the best treatment for your patient. I've called this hotline several times, and I've been impressed with the assistance given. For the treatment of malignant hyperthermia, in addition to supportive ventilator strategies, dantrolene should be given immediately. Dantrolene is the only known antidote for MH. It should be administered as a loading dose of 2.5 milligrams per kilo IV with subsequent bolus doses of 1 milligram per kilo IV until the signs of acute MH abate. Be prepared for the development of hyperkalemia, and you can go to pharmacyjoe.com/episode34 for my episode regarding the treatment of severe hyperkalemia. Now, neuroleptic malignant syndrome has a very slow onset, mental status changes occurring over 1 to 3 days, and that's what generally distinguishes it from MH or serotonin syndrome. NMS does not generally occur during administration of general anesthesia. NMS is defined by its association with a class of medications that block dopamine transmission, and four distinctive findings that are fever, rigidity, mental status changes, and autonomic instability. Medications associated with NMS are the dopamine blocking agents, such as the neuroleptic medications, haloperidol, olanzapine, etc., and antiemetics, metoclopramide, droperidol, prochlorperazine, and promethazine. NMS is also seen in patients treated for Parkinsonism in the setting of abrupt withdrawal of levodopa or dopamine agonist therapy, as well as with dose reductions and when switching from one agent to another. Aggressive supportive care in the treatment of NMS is essential. It's likely that mechanical ventilation, IV fluids, antihypertensives, and benzodiazepines will be required. Maximally aggressive surface cooling should be used, including cooling blankets and axillary ice packs. The use of endovascular cooling, to my knowledge, has not been evaluated for the treatment of NMS. But I'll tell you, if it was my family member as the patient, I'd be pushing hard for this intervention to get the patient's temperature down. Recommended treatments for NMS are based on case reports and clinical experience, not on data from clinical trials. Commonly recommended medications are dantrolene, bromocriptine, and amantadine. Their use is controversial and largely unsupported. However, due to lack of other proven treatments and high morbidity and mortality of the disorder, it's likely that one or more of these medications will be requested for a patient who develops NMS. Dantrolene doses of 1 to 2.5 milligrams per kilo IV are typically used and can be repeated to a maximum dose of 10 milligrams per kilo per day. Efficacy includes reduction of heat production and rigidity, and effects are reported within minutes of administration. The duration of treatment that is required is unclear, with recommendations ranging anywhere from a few days to 10 days of treatment. Bromocriptine, a dopamine agonist, is given to restore lost dopaminergic tone. Start with 2.5 milligrams by mouth or gastric tube every 6 to 8 hours and titrate up to a maximum of 40 milligrams per day. Bromocriptine is continued for 10 days after NMS is controlled and then is tapered slowly. Amantadine has dopaminergic and anticholinergic effects, and it's used as an alternative to bromocriptine. I've never used it for this purpose. The starting dose is 100 milligrams by mouth or gastric tube, and it's titrated upward as needed to a maximum of 200 milligrams every 12 hours. Now, the MHouse website also has a section for neuroleptic malignant syndrome, and there is a separate hotline that can be used to contact a clinician with expertise in NMS. I've used this hotline once before. It took a little longer than the MH hotline to reach the clinician, but they were very helpful with giving specific treatment recommendations. So head over to the show notes, pharmacyjoe.com/episode40, and you can see the links to the neuroleptic malignant syndrome section of the MHouse website. So in summary, a thorough review of current and recent medications helps to differentiate malignant hyperthermia, serotonin syndrome, and NMS. Malignant hyperthermia is extremely rare in the postoperative setting, and serotonin syndrome has a faster onset and neuromuscular hyperactivity, while neuroleptic malignant syndrome has a slower onset and neuromuscular hypoactivity. Listeners can support the show by shopping through my Amazon link at the bottom of pharmacyjoe.com or by purchasing something they find useful from my resource page at pharmacyjoe.com/resources. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.